All right, drop it. Okay, we don't have it. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh.
That's why I heard it. Come back. Okay, there we are. Okay, so I wanted to drop it because the power panel got considerably more powerful with the exit of John Iadarola and the entrance of Anna Kasparian.
Oh wow!
Wow.
Okay, I love messing with John. There's nothing I like
John
more.
Gets messed with more than anyone else on the network.
I know. Poor it's John. Great. It's great. All right, fun for everybody. Okay, we got. Oh shoot, I forgot to look at your tweets. Okay, we'll do the tweets later in the program. Everything's gonna be okay. Just everybody join. That's the bottom line. TYTnetwork.com/join.
Okay.
Help support independent media. Go.
All right. We all know that nepotism is questionable, especially when it comes to the White House. But Trump has been a big fan of nepotism. He's put Ivanka Trump in the White House. He's put Jared Kushner in the White House. But just because someone's your family member doesn't necessarily mean that they're competent for the job. And Jared Kushner has shown time and time again that he is not competent when it comes to taking over his own family's businesses, primarily real estate issues. So he made a really bad decision right before the housing and economic collapse in 2008. So there's new reporting on that, and I want to share it with you guys. So according to Vanity Fair, the most obvious example of Kushner's incompetence remains his decision to buy 666 Fifth Avenue on the eve of the financial crisis for what was then a record-setting $1.8 billion, putting down a mere $50 million and borrowing the rest. The $1.2 billion loan, of which Kushner family holds about half, is due in February of 2019. Now, just to give you an idea of how poorly this was done and how much he owes and how they're not bringing in enough money to pay the loan, let's do a little breakdown of the numbers. So the Midtown Manhattan office tower is on track to lose $24 million this year, marking the worst performance for 666 Fifth Avenue since the 2011 financing. Or refinancing. The property had net operating income of $18.3 million for the 6 months ending in June. Debt payments were $30.4 million during that period. The tower's cash flow is enough to cover only about half of the debt payments on the building, down from 66% last year. So every year it gets worse. And yeah, doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay, so there's lots of this story that I love. So the apple doesn't fall far from the father-in-law. So Donald Trump, also a study of incompetence in real estate. And I know what the right wing is like, what do you mean he's a billionaire? He told me he has $10 billion. Let me see those tax returns. And remember, even in a best case scenario where he actually has like the $3 billion that he claims he originally claimed he had before he was running for president, then all of a sudden moved it up to 10. He's such an unbelievable guy. Anyway. If he had taken the money that he inherited from his dad, even at the low end of, like, I think it was like $40 million is the low end, the high end's $200 million, he would, and just put it in the stock market in the index fund, he would have more now than what he claims he has. Okay, instead he bankrupted himself six times. His dad actually was a smart real estate man, by other accounts a terrible person. Okay, Fred Trump, Donald Trump's dad, but a smart businessman. Same thing with Kushner's dad. He went to prison, but by most accounts, a smart businessman, minus the prison part. Okay, Jared comes in. He's like, "Don't worry, Daddy, I got this. I got this. Ooh, I'm gonna buy a real big, shiny building in New York, just like Donnie did." Okay, and that's what Donald Trump did. He would buy. His dad built a fortune in Queens, and he's like, "Oh, Queens, that's not sexy enough. I'm gonna go to Manhattan. I'm gonna buy some stuff in Manhattan." And bankruptcy. Right? Anyway. So Kushner goes and buys the most expensive building in New York, because that's what bad business people do. They go buy shiny stuff, and because they have to make up for their other issues, inadequacies. So they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna have the biggest building in New York, Daddy." Yeah, but is it gonna make money?
Exactly.
Who cares if it's the biggest one or the most expensive one?
I thought smart businessmen create the shiny things.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what entrepreneurs are. They, you know, they come up with innovative ideas, and they're the ones who build the shiny things. I don't know, anyway.
So he's like, oh, I got it, man. Real estate's going great, okay? It's 2007, it can't go down. So he buys the most expensive building in New York right before the crash, because he's convinced it won't go down. Oh my God, what an idiot. Then he thinks he's clever because he only put $50 million down. Now, if the building is gonna go up, that could be clever, but you gotta be really careful, because if you don't put that much down, the debt can kill you. Like any sensible business person would know that, especially in real estate. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, Daddy, you're gonna buy the biggest building, Daddy. I only put $50 million down. Oh, okay, but be careful, Jared. That might catch up with you later. Crash happens, he has to give away about 50% of the stake to Vornado, which is a well-known real estate company. They come in like, idiot, okay, for like a song, because he had no choice, otherwise they were gonna go completely bankrupt. So Vornado makes a smart move, although now they're stuck in this building too, but probably that'll work out okay for them, because they got it for almost nothing, because they bailed him out. So he's already given away half the farm, right? Now the debt's catching up to him, and he's like, oh, that's a problem. That's why he tried to, if you remember the story we did earlier, he tried to sell it to the Chinese for $400 million more than it was worth by any other real estate standards. Look, this real estate market is not like, hey, a shoe is $103 at Foot Locker and a hamburger is $1.99. It's a little bit more variable than that.
It's whatever you can get for it, right?
Yes, but these are sophisticated investors, sure, and they're gonna do due diligence, etc. And when the Chinese are overpaying by 400 and Jared Kushner is in charge of our relationship with China, mm-hmm, at the White House, that seemed a little fishy. And it was so fishy that the Chinese backed out. They're like, yeah, this looks really bad. Okay, even for us, this looks way too corrupt. So they're like, ah, never mind. And they backed out, and he's like, oh no. And that's the mess he's stuck in now. And one last thing now related back to policy, because remember, Jared is theoretically running that building and all the other real estate stuff that he's involved in, but he's also in charge of policy with China, peace in the Middle East, solving the opioid crisis, the government's IT infrastructure.
Peace in the Middle East.
What does he know about IT? And my favorite, quote, reinventing the entire government. That's a direct quote.
Yeah.
That's what Jared Kushner is gonna do. God help us all.
If we made a mistake, if Anna made a mistake, or I made a mistake in real estate, or even Jank made a mistake in real estate,
wouldn't happen.
It could be forgiven, because we're not real estate people. You know, my dad wasn't a real estate mogul. And I wasn't around real estate people to figure out the price per square foot and all the stuff that real estate people, that jargon that they speak. But the fact that this guy is steeped in real estate and is sold to us as this genius in real estate, well, here he is in his genius space, and he's doing the least geniusy things that a person can do. And then, as Cenk says, I mean, he's tasked with all these other things. He is essentially king of the world. You know, we know where the president is, he's on a golf course, or he's hanging out watching Fox and Friends. So Jared's kind of supposed to be doing a lot of this stuff, and the truth is, he's DOA as far as we know on all these other issues. Look, he's DOA on his genius space.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember, so they said, oh, Jared's really smart, you know, he went to Harvard. You remember the story about how his dad bought him his Harvard space? They paid $2 million to get both of his sons in. And so that's.
But you know, it's weird because we never have conversations about how that's not okay on college campuses. Like, we'll have these ridiculous, nonsensical discussions about how minorities have the upper hand in college admissions, which is not true. But you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, where papa buys you admissions into prestigious universities, no one questions that.
The whole thing's a ruse, man. So he's never been bright. He's just like Donald Trump. He had everything handed to him. All he ever did was screw it up. His dad, Donald Trump's dad, got him out of Vietnam with a fake doctor's note about a problem with a heel that Trump can't remember which heel it was. I mean, it's just gross. And then he bragged about how his own personal Vietnam was avoiding STDs at the orgies he was going to. Jared Kushner gets handed his seat at Harvard, and then like I don't know if he particularly is against affirmative action, but almost all the Republicans are, and they're like, ah, these black kids getting, see, well, they didn't have $2 million to buy the seat, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he gets handed billions of dollars in transactions, at least, right? He had to put the $50 million in, but, and he screws that up royally. Now they're on the hook, and it might bankrupt the entire family, which would be awesome. Just while you're at it, please don't bankrupt the rest of us. It's funny and fun when you bankrupt yourself, okay? But when you're trying to reinvent the entire government, please find some professionals who can help you because you're not that bright.
We've talked about the conflict of interest before, but the truth is that there's a lot of money flowing into these people who have access to the president, and Kushner's among them. So if ever there was a chance he had to bail himself out, the Kushner businesses will thrive in this environment. It's happening with the Trump. In fact, I think it's the whole Trump con that his businesses and those businesses that are sort of make up the constellation of Trump holdings, and I include Ivanka in that and Kushner, they all stand to gain enormously because of their closeness to the White House and to American policy. So if ever there was a chance that Jared Kushner could squirm out of this, it would be this moment in time. But it doesn't appear to be happening.
All right, one last thing, because I can't resist it. So the people he went to try to rescue himself, he tried to sell the building to the richest man in France. He's like, I didn't get to be the richest man in France by buying this shit building. Okay. Israeli insurance companies are like, no, I don't think so. The South Korea's sovereign wealth fund, no. And so as I told you, China's Anbang Insurance Group, they were going to overpay. They got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They left. And then the Qataris. If you can't rook the Qataris, you shouldn't be in business. Said the guy who worked at Current TV.
Well, there's also a little quid pro quo going on, right? I mean, when you talk about rooking, that's one thing. But the truth is that's what I think was happening on the Chinese side. They understood they were overpaying. They weren't getting rooked. They just thought, okay, I get it. We overpay for this and we get stuff returned in kind. But then, as Cenk said, they got cold feet because I thought, well, this looks really bad and it could end up blowing back on us badly. And so they swam away from it. But there's a bit of quid pro quo, and that's what I'm talking about with the conflict of interest. It's just, it's insane.
All right, we'll move forward.
All right.
Before I say more offensive stuff.
The White House has released a draft proposal for Health and Human Services. Now, this proposal is now open for comment from the public, but the whole point of this is to provide a directive or a roadmap for governmental agencies, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And it's something that Americans should be concerned about because it has essentially led to an ideological war within this department, and I'll explain why. Now, they plan on defining life as at the moment of conception, okay? The new Trump 2018 to 22nd draft plan seems determined to take healthcare in a more ideological direction, starting by rewriting the definition of American life. HHS will now be serving and protecting Americans at every stage of life, beginning at conception. That is what it says. The plan's repeated references to natural death also suggest the agency may now be opposed to assisted suicide, which has been legalized in a couple of states. What does this mean for, you know, reproductive rights? What does this mean for, you know, employers or employees working at medical institutions who want to cite their religious beliefs in either denying certain types of healthcare or only doing certain types of healthcare? Those are the things that are being discussed right now. But it would essentially provide people with a religious bias the protection to perform that religious bias.
Yeah, you know, I'm split on this one. I'll tell you why. I'm not in favor of this policy at all. I'm not remotely split on that. But you voted for religious zealots. You got religious zealots. So progressives who don't think it's a big deal, you should have. And I'm not the guy to blame voters, but I think that that a lot of times the left thinks, oh, they're not really going to do stuff, and the right thinks we're going to do it no matter what. And so they told you that they are religious zealots and they cared about these things and they don't even want you to have birth control. I think 99% of women use birth control that are of childbearing age, that are adults or something along those lines. So, and you always think that they're not really going to take it away.
Look,
except they do, they want to, and this is part of how they do it. So for God's sake, go out and make sure they lose, because otherwise they're going to take away your rights.
Can we finally accept that Trump, in one way or another, will do the things that he claimed he was going to do while he was running, except for getting Mexico to pay for the wall, because that's ridiculous. He said he was going to punish women who had abortions. And there was all this backlash, but he's doing it, right? I mean, think about it. If life is defined as, you know, something that begins at the moment of conception, what does that mean if someone has an abortion? What does that mean if someone miscarries? If you think that religious zealots won't try to prosecute those women, you're wrong. Look at states like Mississippi, where there were literally cases of women bringing their pregnancy to term. They wanted to have the baby, and then they delivered a stillborn, which is tragic. And guess what Mississippi would do? They would look at the history of these mothers to see if there was ever any drug use or drug abuse, and they would prosecute these women. Okay? You think that religious zealots don't want to punish women for having abortions, or, you know, God forbid, having a miscarriage or a stillborn? These people are disgusting. And Trump will follow through on the promises that he made. If he doesn't get it done legislatively, we already know he'll do it through executive action.
Well, that's what drives me crazy about, and again, not to blame the voters, but progressives, but also the Democratic Party that does not effectively explain this issue and get people to vote based on it, partly because they're so bad at fighting for our values. We don't want to offend people who are pro-life.
That's the thing.
Well, right. But they're offending us by going and doing this when they get in office. The reality is 2/3 of Americans are pro-choice. We should be killing them on this issue politically. And instead we lose on the issue because none of our guys vote on it, and all of their people vote based on it. You know, evangelicals showed up, they voted 81% for Trump. And their voter turnout was 85%, white evangelicals, 85% voter turnout. That is near miraculous. That is an unbelievable number. Why? Because their politicians energized them and said, we're going to take away their rights. Okay? We're going to take away birth control and abortion, and we're going to say that life begins at conception, and that's what they're doing now, right? So our side said, don't worry about it. I don't want to offend the other side. We're 2/3, they're 1/3. Go ahead and offend them. At least fight for us. So you didn't energize your voters,
no,
and they
didn't
show up at the rate that even white evangelicals did.
They knew that Supreme Court seat would be key to some of the stuff that you're talking about, and that's one of the reasons they showed up in such big numbers. And you may look at Donald Trump and say, well, how does Donald Trump, this guy who has probably been involved, you remember the Howard Stern interview in which he actually referenced an abortion that he might have been part of? There was, mm-hmm. I mean, he said she did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Remember he said, I got somebody pregnant, she did the right thing. But you wonder, Donald Trump, he doesn't really have any religious underpinnings. He doesn't really care about this stuff in any big way. Why all of a sudden is he the standard bearer for all this stuff? Because he's just the face of policy that's being made by others, and it is the religious right that is occupying this presidency, and he doesn't care. Donald Trump absolutely doesn't care. Now, a lot of what we're talking about here, anti-women, anti-minority, anti-those who fall under some sort of socioeconomic barrier, all that's consistent with, I think,
with who he is.
Exactly. But he's not cutting edge on this stuff. It's just what his presidency has become.
Yeah, and also it's not just Health and Human Services. There are multiple governmental agencies that are doing everything they can to roll back our rights in the name of religious freedom or religious liberty. So I'll give you another example. The Department of Justice has its own version of protecting religious liberty, and it's going to affect a lot of different groups of people who have historically been disenfranchised in the country. So the Department of Justice put out a memo directing government departments, including HHS, to make a priority of preserving religious liberty, even if it means violating anti-discrimination laws. That is where their priority is.
Wow.
And so by the way, interesting, does this apply to all religions, right? So if there is, I don't know, a Muslim business owner. Right, no. I mean, I don't even have to finish my thought. And so I really hope that this gets challenged by the people. right? Yeah. And we'll see if that plays out, because this is ridiculous.
But just to give you context, by the way, what they've done is so much further out than what other people have done. Even George W. Bush, who actually was a religious person and focused on that religiously, if you will, he didn't go this far in rewriting life according to the American government as starting at conception. And so Trump has gone even further. But look, to be fair to Trump, he got all the evangelical Christians. This is what they wanted, and he's delivering on that promise. We should have beat him. And so that's why I'm split on it. I mean, we can complain afterwards, but if you don't think that the government should be so big that they're inside your uterus, or they're so big that they're gonna rush in and figure out what rights they have over your body the minute that you guys are finished with the act, because really it could be that quick. He came, everybody rushed in, let's go, now the government's got a right to what's inside your body, okay? So that's how big they want government to be. And if you don't want that, then don't ever vote for a Republican. It's not a partisan thing. I mean, it sounds worse, like don't vote Republican. I'm saying if you don't want them inside your vulva, then don't vote Republican, because that's what they do. Because the mainstream press is too polite and too neutral and too detached from actual facts to tell you the reality. If you vote for Republicans, they want government so big that as soon as he comes, they're inside you go, nope, I now own your body. You're not allowed to do this with your body. You're not allowed to do that with your body. I don't even want you using birth control, because I want him to come. And then I want to be inside your body and saying you can or can't do this. That's what Republicans stand for. That's what they just did. It's a fucking fact.
So you're right about the media, but I think what's also important to keep in mind is that the squeaky wheel always gets the attention. And the squeaky wheel, when it comes to politics, is always the Republican Party. And it's annoying, but it's effective. And so they will whine and cry and argue and debate and do media hits. They will do anything that's necessary to get their message out there. And they'll play dirty. Whereas, you know, we know what happens on the left. I mean, why aren't we seeing press hits by, you know, Democratic members of Senate or the House? You know, talking about how disgusting this all is, talking about how this will actually end up costing our government a significant amount of money. You know, a perfect example is what's likely to happen with sex education on school campuses. So George Bush was terrible when it came to that, because he only allowed the government to fund abstinence-only sex education. Teen pregnancy rates dramatically increased as a result of that. Obama comes in, realizes it's not working. It's a really gigantic waste of money. And so he stops prioritizing abstinence-only education, prioritizes comprehensive sex ed. The rate of teen pregnancy decreases significantly, because guess what? Education works. Telling people how to protect themselves from unwanted pregnancy works. And now this is gonna happen. And more people are gonna get pregnant. They're not gonna want that pregnancy. You take away their reproductive rights. I mean, what are we gonna do? Are we just gonna have a government that lets kids live on the streets? Are we gonna have a government that allows these children to be hungry? I mean, I don't know. Well, Trump is capable of anything.
That's, of course, the true awful contradiction here, which is that life begins at conception, but as soon as that baby's born, no one gives a shit. You know, and
that's
there's
right.
There's no ongoing support of that child. So for them, it's a complete exercise in awful policy. But Anna's 100% right about something else, and that is the messaging. How they message and tag progressive and Democratic voices. You know, Democrats are, you know, I know the Democrats have their own issues, but they tag them as the party of big government, and then that tag sticks.
Yeah.
And people remember, oh yeah, all those regulations that the Democrats want, nanny state. Well, now look at the nanny. The nanny wants to actually prevent you, now see Cenk's point, prevent you from impregnating someone and having any option at all at that point from the first moment that it happens.
Yeah, it's a nunny state. They want nuns, you know, wagging their finger at you and telling you what you can and can't do with your own body. So, you know, whether it's a nanny state or nunny state, I mean, we need regulations that make sense, not religious zealots dictating every part of our personal lives.
And the last point is, it is completely out of step with what America wants. Completely right. out of step. As Cenk said the polls for you. It's completely out of step. So this minority opinion, which doesn't even reflect what the American public wants, is going to carry the day.
And I just realized that when I said it's a fucking fact, it was literal.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
We got to take a break.
I was going to get dirtier, so we got to take a break before I get dirtier. Okay. Yes, when we come back, spa days in Puerto Rico for FEMA, or government employees, I should say. So, I mean, the nerve these guys have, unreal. We'll tell you the story of what a doctor reported from on the ground. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Mark, and Anna with you. Everybody check out The Edge with Mark Thompson. That's Mark's podcast. Let me read a couple of tweets for you guys. Mandy Blizzardborn, which is an awesome name, says, who's surprised that Ivanka would marry a man just like Trump, considering their weird, creepy, flirty daddy-daughter relationship? So gross. I don't, you know, it is, it's gross, and I don't want to think about that. But the fact that she married someone a lot like her dad, just a spoiled kid who's not that bright and is screwing up the family's fortune. That's pretty telling. Chelsea Charles writes in, Matthew Reed writes in, you aren't a real Trump family member until you've defaulted on a loan. Chelsea, you get a t-shirt, Matthew, you get a t-shirt, nice job. Chelsea, Chelsea, I'll read yours. Kushner can just file bankruptcy like Trump, the mark of a great business mogul. That's what Trump says. He says, I'm the king of debt. I did a smart thing. I owed people money and I fucked them. I didn't pay it. That's what a smart businessman does. Fucks people.
Also, his idea of being a great negotiator and a good deal maker is demanding and bullying people into giving him exactly what he wants. And then when that doesn't happen, finding some unilateral way of, retaliating.
Yeah. You would have to be a lunatic or a Russian to loan Trump money. Okay, Come Fight Me, which is another great name, on Twitter writes in, I could literally watch Cenk talk about anything for hours. Well, that is very nice. Yeah. I really appreciate that, Come Fight Me. All right, one last thing before we go to the rest of the stories. I keep forgetting to tell you guys about, Wolfpack needs, they're gonna do a campaign, speaking of Come Fight Me, Wolfpack needs to go on the offense. And we need to take out some legislators probably. I'm not saying that's the campaign we're gonna do. I'm not saying that. But wolf-pack.com/wedding, okay? It started out as a nice thing, a red, white, and blue wedding where a lovely couple just said, hey, they put on their wedding registry, donate to Wolfpack, which is awesome, okay? And now more people are doing it. And if you wanna do it for your wedding, birthday, whatever, together at wolf-pack.com, okay? Now it's turned into a red wedding for whoever's opposing Wolfpack. So let's raise some money, let's get to $100,000 so that we can do the next project for Wolfpack. wolf-pack.com/wedding. Sorry, actually come to think of it, one more thing. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, go to Vegas, and I found out something super cool about this. Sorry I didn't know this and say it before or earlier, but John and Emma are gonna go to Vegas on Wednesday to cover the Unity Reform Commission. And they're gonna decide super important things like caucuses or primaries, superdelegates, party reform. Nina Turner will be there. Nomi is part of the commission, she'll be there. And what's cool is that you guys can actually watch. I thought you would just be outside. No, you can watch them discuss these issues. It's a public meeting. Mm-hmm. So 1 o'clock at Bally's in Las Vegas next Wednesday, okay? And if you wanna get updates exactly where people are gonna meet, et cetera, tytnetwork.com/getupdates, okay? All right, what's next, Anna?
I just wanna make a note about how Mark always puts me in a good mood.
He's such a smiley, happy person. Like the last old school, I don't know if it's getting awkward, but there's like a lot of love in the room for Mark Thompson.
Yeah, no, because he's such a positive person. I'll have the worst day and then he'll come into the studio and he's like, Turks!
I try to bring good energy wherever.
And
Bart is bobbing his head. Everybody agrees.
Thanks, guys. That's nice.
All right.
What's next? Enough about Mark. Let's move on.
In a executive at Amazon is facing a lot of heat following an accusation of sexual harassment by a producer behind one of Amazon's shows. Her name is Issa Hackett, and she is a producer behind Amazon.com Inc.'s show, The Man in the High Castle. So, after the Harvey Weinstein accusations came out, she shared her experience, her alleged experience with Roy Price, who is the executive behind, you know, the Amazon streaming shows in, you know, on the platform. And her allegation was that in 2015, during Comic-Con, she had gotten into a cab with him and another executive, and at that point he started propositioning her for sex and started talking about his penis and how she would love his penis. It was a story that broke by the Hollywood Reporter, and it's absolutely disgusting and shocking. And she, you know, came public with her account. Now, following this allegation, Amazon has decided to suspend him. And let's go to graphic 11. They released a statement saying that Roy Price is on leave of absence, effective immediately. We are reviewing our options for the projects we have with the Weinstein Company.
So, look, these are tough situations because they have to do an investigation. Weinstein, Cosby, Trump, Ailes, O'Reilly, it was overwhelming, right? Dozens of women in most of those cases, in O'Reilly's case about half a dozen, etc. There were settlements that were paid, there were, by whether it was Fox News or Weinstein stuff. So if Roy Price went around talking about the things that Issa Hackett alleges, you know, it would be really surprising if Amazon didn't let him go. And he had some success there, so they got three Oscars, mm-hmm. and something they'd never had before. So they're of course going to be careful about it, and he's an important executive there, and I get it. If he did it, I think everybody's on the same page, and you know, I'd be shocked if they didn't let him go. But we can't also jump to conclusions on every single allegation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doubting Hackett's account at all. I have no evidence on this situation, and I don't know Roy Price from Adam, okay? Mm-hmm. So I got no dog in this fight. I'm just saying that this is not like the others in that it is one allegation, and let them do the investigation, yeah, and find out.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, there are no other women who are accusing him of this, but it usually starts with one person who finally feels comfortable enough to come forward with her account and what occurred. And so I'm glad that she did that, and I hope that there is an investigation. It seems as though Amazon is taking this seriously, whereas with all the other people that you mentioned earlier, Cenk, it took a very long time for, you know, some ramifications. With Trump, he was elected president, so which is pretty devastating. But I like that now there is swift response, and that people understand the severity of this issue.
And the other interesting thing about this is the week that a lot of the Weinstein stuff came down, and it may have empowered her to come forward on this other stuff. The tide of Weinstein reports sometimes is what's needed to bring out some of these other allegations. And as Cenk says, we don't know, and both Anna and Cenk have both said that, and I'll sign on to that as well. Having said that, you know, it's interesting to see the Weinstein thing sort of fall into the same constellation of like sexual harassment, blood on the floor, as the other Cosby stuff. In other words, the Cosby MO was recorded by a bunch of people. It's the same MO, like it's the cappuccino or it's the drink, right? The Weinstein thing, it's the same thing. It's the same MO. That's the same blood on the floor as the last one. You know, he asked me for the rub down and all of this. This is just a one-off so far, so it's hard to put it into any kind of sort of plausibility or implausibility. We'll have to see.
Well, what I also find interesting, so this is different from the other cases in that there's one accusation so far. But what I do notice is a similar trend or a pattern with all the people who have been accused. These are people in positions of power, and they've apparently felt like they could do and say anything without any consequence. And it's scary to think of what people are capable of once they know they have the upper hand and they do have a position of power like this.
Yeah, it's certainly that's a consistent feature, yeah. Right? The powerful guy who doesn't seems as though nothing bad can happen to him. That is certainly a consistent feature of this one.
Yeah. Look, if it's true, two notes to guys who are considering similar things, because you would think, like, who the hell would consider that except we keep covering stories, right? So one, saying to women, would you like to see my penis, is not an effective line. So just put it back in, don't do that. It's a really bad, it's sexual harassment if you're in a position of power. And if you're not in a position of power and you're a random dude at a bar and you don't know the person and she doesn't work for you or anything along those lines, it's still not gonna work. So, and no, very few times in the history of humanity has a guy come up and be like, hey, you wanna see my penis?
No one wants to see.
And a woman was like, oh my God, like, how did you know? The thing I was looking for, right?
Look, I guarantee you, if a woman wants to see your penis, she will tell you. She will ask, she will solicit that penis image or for you to whip it out. Like, don't assume that you have the greatest penis in the world and that everyone wants to see it, because that's just not the case.
And secondarily, like, I don't know. I think that I read in one of the stories that he might have been drinking. Don't drink too much at work. I can tell you countless stories of guys who thought it was fun to drink, to get hammered at work, and then they say terribly inappropriate things to coworkers. In every one of those stories, they get fired. So be cool. We have fun. We have a Christmas party. We all drink, right? Not all of us, but a lot of us, and we have fun. Just be cool. Just for God's sakes, use some common sense. And I think Anna's right. Sometimes the more powerful you get, the more you feel immune, and hence you feel like you don't need to do common sense because you're untouchable. Come to find out that might not be the case.
Right. All right, let's move on. A doctor working for a government agency providing relief to Puerto Ricans has just quit her job following her account of what's really going on in Puerto Rico and how some government workers are essentially exploiting people in a time of need for things like pedicures and pampering. Now, this was a story that was broke by Rachel Maddow, and the identity of this woman isn't clear, but we do know that she worked for the National Disaster Medical System. Again, this is an agency that is working to provide relief in Puerto Rico. And according to the doctor, the disaster relief employees, quote, used a triage tents that are supposed to be for medical care, and instead brought in local Puerto Rican residents to give the medical workers cut-rate manicures and pedicures, all while on the clock. She was also quoted as saying that she finds this gross misuse of taxpayer funds and abuse of our privileged positions personally abhorrent. The doctor said that she opposed the optics of NDMS medical personnel responsible for seeing injured and ill Puerto Ricans who have no homes, food, or supplies having a spa day on taxpayer money, which she found personally abhorrent.
Okay, this is bad in 18 different ways. It appeared that the Trump administration was fairly indifferent to the plight of Puerto Rico, saying, why don't you guys just help yourselves? And then later tweeting, well, we've been there for 3 weeks, how long are we gonna stay? Now we find out that some of the people there not only are not taking the time to help people, which is the number one problem, you're supposed to be busy actually helping people. 83% of Puerto Rico still doesn't have power. So that you're there for a reason, and a lot of people have been hurt. Then to turn around and waste taxpayer dollars by spending the day getting manis and pedis, absolutely
unacceptable. Having Puerto Ricans who are suffering provide those manis and pedis.
That's the third one. Yeah. It's so gratuitously insulting. Oh, we're down in Puerto Rico, so instead of helping them, let's get them to do our manicures and pedicures. How could you not see that that's gross? And you don't see that if that's just your way of thinking. Like, of course that's what I'm gonna do here, right? And it shows an indifference to their lives that has been a consistent theme so far in how we've treated Puerto Rico in the recovery from Hurricane Maria.
The fish rots from the head down.
Right. Right. I mean, certainly it's true. This administration was slow to respond to Puerto Rico. And then, of course, when they respond inadequately. And as Cenk says, it's sort of the short timeline that the president has referenced. And then this is just, this is insanity, right? I mean, it's like a cartoon. I mean, it's like if this were a cartoon, you'd go, wow, that's kind of in bad taste. These people are dying. And then you do a cartoon like this. It's not a cartoon. They really did it.
Yeah, by the way, great credit to the veteran doctor who called us out. She's, by the way, worked on humanitarian missions in 10 different countries. So someone who has done amazing work to help people. So when she saw this offensive behavior, she turned it in. And remember, I mean, everyone can agree on this. Because if you're a conservative and you don't care about the people of Puerto Rico, I don't know why you would think that. I hope you don't think that. I hope conservatives care just as much. You should be really pissed at how they're wasting your taxpayer money.
Yeah, that's government waste.
Yes. All right, one last final super fun quick story.
All right. I am not a fan of Halloween. However, I have found an individual who managed to do Halloween decorations right, and I want to give him credit. He is Michael Fry from New York, and he usually has headstones in his front yard. And he wanted to represent dying 2017 trends on those headstones. They're headstones, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird, headstones. But
gravestones.
Anyway. So whatever. Let's just take a look at the pictures because they're fun.
This is amazing. He said he's a teacher. He said he did homemade slime in hope that it would die in 2017 because it drives teachers crazy.
Yeah.
Old Taylor Swift in the corner is hilarious because of her music video killing old Taylor Swift. He did dabbing, and that's the one that gets all the kids to stop by and go, you know, it's not really dead, we're still dabbing.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So every part of this is freaking hilarious.
Rosé all day, which is, I don't know why it gets on my nerves, but it does, right? I just don't think that you should be supporting alcohol addiction. Also, no, I'm just kidding, but it's just an annoying hashtag, and I see it all the time. Watching live TV, that's been dead. I feel like.
But that's great that he put that. That's so funny to say watching live TV is dead. Normal seasons for climate change.
Mm-hmm.
But look, he's bipartisan, accountability, looking at you millennials.
Yeah.
Okay. And then a Game of Thrones character he put on that died. This guy is like the dad from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Like he's like a real life guy who does fun things like that on Halloween.
Yeah.
I love that homemade slime. The homemade slime thing is actually really popular, isn't it?
I mean, unfortunately, it is. Yeah. I got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. I can't stand that thing. So from your mouth to God's ears,
yeah.
I hope it dies in 2017. So this is America.
Damn
this
it.
Is America we know and love. This is how you do Halloween. A fun-loving teacher who finds a way to celebrate that isn't overly sexy on Halloween and that doesn't necessarily give you cavities. He gives candy too.
Okay. Yeah.
But bless your heart, you get America points.
Oh yeah, the America points.
That's right.
All right. More on that later.
Everybody check out The Edge with Mark Thompson. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. Much love. Bye-bye.